O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths will declare your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The scripture for today is Job 19, verses 23 through 27a. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word as we listen to I Know That My Redeemer Lives by Samuel Medley, sung by The Welcome Wagon. An older hymn with pre-revolutionary text, this arrangement is given new life with a quiet, raw treatment. Each phrase is broken up into smaller musical lines, allowing space for the listener to fully absorb the text.
This blessed assurance gives. He lives, he lives, who once was dead. He lives, my ever-living head. To bless me with his love, he lives to plead for me above. He lives, my hungry soul to feed. He lives to help in time of need. My kind, wise, heavenly friend, he lives and loves me to the end. He lives, and while he lives, I'll sing. He lives, my prophet, priest, and king. To see upon the earth your friend, to see upon the earth your friend, upon the
Job 19, verses 23 through 27. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me.
Job is Exhibit A of Murphy's Law. If it could go wrong, it will. He is synonymous with suffering. His blessings were eviscerated as he loses his health, his wealth, his children. Job's friends initially sat with him, but their empathy turned into a scolding cold formula. If you suffer, they said, it's because you've sinned and God is punishing you. And so Job says in chapter 21, they became miserable comforters who spew empty nothings. Now, Job makes us uncomfortable because it's a portrait of a godly man crying out to God and also against God. Do you rule the world justly? Job asks. In chapter 10, it indicates that though God had skillfully fashioned Job as a fine piece of pottery, Job says that God is smashing his creation on the ground. Is God his enemy? You see, there's nothing trite or polite about Job's faith. He's raw, like the sores on his body. And it teaches us that God wants us to bring our anguish to him. C.S. Lewis said that we must lay before him what is in us, not what ought to be in us. And yet our passage introduces a ray of light and hope, so much so that Job wants his words inscribed in a book, etched in a rock, recorded for posterity. I know my Redeemer lives, he says. Now this refers to a kinsman redeemer, the Hebrew word for which is Goel. A Goel is a relative who would come to the aid of a family member and rescue him or her, or a friend coming to the aid defending a person's cause like Boaz did with Ruth. So a Goel could be a person, but also God, Yahweh himself. The book of Exodus says that God will redeem his people with an outstretched arm. And though God felt like Job's adversary, he then declares, he will be my advocate. God will come to my aid like near and dear kin. My Redeemer, in fact, will stand upon the earth and I will be vindicated. My wrongs will be righted. I will be proven right in the court of God and my suffering will make sense. And after my flesh has been destroyed, Job says, I will see God, whom my eyes will see. I will see him and not another. He mentions sight three times. This is not some stranger, but God, who will be Job's kinsman redeemer. Now, Christians throughout the ages have read this with a view to Jesus, our true kinsman redeemer, our Goel, our advocate. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that though we die, we will stand before God in a new body. Someday we will see him with our very eyes, for our kinsman redeemer lives. Now, how do we know this is true? Because Christ was the most righteous man ever, far more than Job. He was the one who didn't deserve an ounce of his suffering, yet submitted to suffering for us. He was vindicated, proven right, and we will be vindicated in him, and because of him, our suffering will finally make sense in Christ. And so, friends, I encourage you in these moments to trust him through suffering, knowing that you'll see him beyond suffering. Thank you.
Let's close now with this old Anglican prayer. Father, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. For the sake of your Son, our Savior. Amen.